Good morning and welcome to our special Easter service as we get to read through the gospel account according to John, mostly as we go through and think about our risen Savior and all that he went through in his death. As we think about this great Resurrection Sunday and to love him and to worship him, we want to thank you for joining us today. And you may sing along as we come. And our first song will be 247 in the Majesty Hymn Book, The Old Rugged Cross. But we will start out with Caleb being our first reader. Caleb?
Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let's go to Judea again."
The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?"
Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us go that we may die with him." As we come into this time, you could imagine the disciples had all kinds of emotions and thoughts as they went through the narrative with Jesus and as they went through the Passion Week. We know Thomas was known for his doubting, and maybe you have questions about God. And today, as we survey the story of the cross and going all the way to the death and resurrection of our Lord, we would like to reflect on the old rugged cross, page 247. John chapter 11, verse 45 through 53.
Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did.
Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation."
And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad.
And from that day on, they plotted to put him to death.
Today, as I think on our blessed Redeemer, and the old hymn 2:31. I'm just going to read the first two verses. But it goes, up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, even while his lifeblood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, poor sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. As we consider more of the scripture narrative, you may follow along if you wish, and shortly, but we have another hymn, 143, I Stand Amazed in the Presence, 143. First two verses.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how
the Gospel of John, chapter 18, beginning in verse 1 through 11.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered.
And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons.
Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?"
They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them.
Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground.
Then he asked them again, "Who are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth."
Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, and that the saying may be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'"
Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus.
So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword in your sheath. Shall I drink the cup which my Father has given me?" 143. Again, may we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, the third and the fourth verse.
He bore the burden to Calvary. Savior's love for me. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
We'll be in John chapter 18, verse 12 through 28. And then we'll move on to verse 38 to 40.
Then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. And they led him away to Annas. First, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. Now it was Caiaphas who advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people.
And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not."
Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself.
The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine.
Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to you, to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where the Jews always met, or always meet, and in a secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said."
And then he said these things. One of the officers who stood by struck with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?"
Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you strike me?"
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him, whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed.
Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusations do you bring against this man?"
Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?"
Then they all cried again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber.
We will be now turning to John chapter 19, verses 1 through 7, and verses 13 through 16.
So Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands.
Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him."
Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold, the man."
Therefore, when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him."
The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God."
When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought out Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold, your king."
But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar."
Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away.
As we think about our Savior, we're about to sing Hallelujah, What a Savior, 289 in our hymnal, verses 1 through 3. Hallelujah, truly, what a Savior. We praise God. The things that he went through, he did it all for us. He paid the ultimate price, the ultimate ransom purchase that had to be made to pay for our sins, to go to the cross on our behalf. Today, as we turn 289, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Chapter 19, in verses 17 through 18, and then verses 28 through 30.
And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center.
After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished and that Scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst."
Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth.
So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Again, the rest of Hallelujah, what a Savior. Truly, what a Savior. We sang how guilty and vile we were, but now we see him lifted up to die. As he yelled from the cross, "It is finished," by his own power, as God, he said, "It is paid in full. It is done. It is complete." Truly, he has done everything that was necessary to pay for our sins.
Savior, when
chapter 19, verse 38, and then we'll look at verses 41 through 42.
After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, was secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews. Preparation day for the tomb was nearby.
Today, if you could turn now to John chapter 20, if you would like to open your Bibles to John 20, verses 1 through 10.
Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed.
For as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes.
Continuing to read in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain.
Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him."
Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?"
She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher.
Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her.
As we celebrate this resurrection, she got to see the risen Christ. And not only did she get to see the risen Christ, but over 500 witnesses would come up in the next 40 days as they would see the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Not only 500 at one time, but many sightings with the disciples, with the apostles that being, and also interactions with the women in the garden and various other times, eating with them, physically going out with them when they went fishing and eating on the shore. Jesus proved that he could handle our sins by rising himself from the dead, a miracle that no one could do. But sin could not hold down our Savior because he never committed any sin. That's why he could step into our humanity to take my sin penalty. Hallelujah, what a Savior we sang earlier. Now let's celebrate Christ arose as we sing all three verses. 265, Christ arose.
He arose a victor from the dark domain.
celebrate him. Truly, death cannot keep him prey. Jesus was not a victim to death that would be held down in its clutches. Truly, he is life. He is the author of life. And you may know him and all the abundant life that he gives for all eternity. And the joy of the resurrection is that he offers us life. And we praise him. And today, as we annually do, we shout out, "He is risen!
He is risen indeed!"